You know, there's a really funny thing about testimonials. We all know that we're supposed to be getting them, and yeah, not everybody asks for the testimonials, but I think that many of us were never really like told why, beyond the obvious, why you should be asking for testimonials. So that's part of what I want to talk about today, but I want to talk about some other areas of testimonials that nobody ever talks about. My name is Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and I'm the author of the Your Sales Playbook blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 15,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we dive headfirst into this whole business of testimonials, I want you to understand that it's really part of a bigger picture. And forgive me for just kind of, you know, just like shooting from the hip here, but many of us in sales lack the balls to ask for certain things. And you notice I said many of us. I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm here to tell you that that wasn't me being cute. I have been guilty of it. I have been an introvert my entire life. And there are times where I think being bashful and shy has completely screwed me out of many a deal and opportunities because I just, you know what I mean? I just was just more soft-spoken than the rest of the crowd. But I really think that you need to have the balls to ask potential clients and clients for certain things. Like, the obvious thing is we're already asking them for appointments. But yet, right? And when you think about that, asking someone for an appointment, calling, you're cold calling 9 out of 10 times. You are interrupting them from what they're doing. You face all kinds of like really bad responses to cold calls. And I know that's not just a New York thing. People can be quite nasty all over the world when you interrupt them from what they're doing. Or maybe it isn't a phone call. Maybe you're shooting them an email and you're getting the same like less than stellar response. You do that, but yet we're kind of afraid to ask for things like referrals and testimonials and even asking for the business. And one of the biggest areas where, I had a few years ago, the light bulb, like the lights went on. It wasn't just a light bulb. It was an entire lighting fixture went on for me. And I realized that perhaps I'm being too nice about all the stuff that I'm doing on my podcast and on social media and on my blog posts. And what I mean by that, let me just clarify this. What I mean by that is that I just thought it was totally inappropriate to ever ask you guys for business. And quite frankly, 2 years after I started my business in 2013, I almost went out of business because I was too busy trying to be everybody's friend. And let me tell you what happens when you try to be everyone's friend. You end up by getting friend zoned by people. Seriously, they just don't look at you as a person that they could give their money to or just actually have a paid type of business relationship with. So you're actually hurting yourself when you don't ask for certain things that are within your right as a sales professional to do. So I had a wake-up call a few years ago, about 4 years ago, and I realized, man, if I don't do something quick here, I am going to go out of business. So what I did was I stopped trying to be everybody's buddy. Now, right away, you might be thinking the way I did when I was hesitating to go in a different direction. You might be thinking automatically the opposite of being everybody's friend, which is being a jerk and being sleazy and spammy and everything else. There is a midpoint. And that's how I teach a lot of my clients to troubleshoot a problem. Just set up your two extremes and then consider a middle option. And my middle option was that I was going to start asking people for business a hell of a lot more. At the end of every one of my blog posts, I have a call to action of some sort. It's usually one of the webinars that we do because we do them every 2 weeks. But this time of year, you'll see me also putting up things about my coaching practice. Why? Because a lot of people start thinking about coaching going into a new year. I also put up a lot of things about my keynote speeches and all. So just a quick note, and I am going to go into a very quick infomercial. I'm going to warn you right now. because I am going to practice what I preach here. But I just want to let you know that it is perfectly okay to ask people for business, ask people for referrals, ask people for testimonials. If you blog, you are allowed to put things in there where people, like, imagine this, could buy shit from you. I know. It's like, you know, we should all have wealthy benefactors so we never, ever, God forbid, have to sell, even though our title is sales professional. And certainly on, like, don't even get me started about, like, LinkedIn and everything else. You have all these people out there. You should never sell on LinkedIn. That is the biggest line of shit to ever grace social networks. I mean, it's just not practical. So again, you set up extremes. You look at the one where you're always selling and being a pain in the neck, and people, the minute you connect with them, you're hitting them on a sales pitch. And then you have the opposite, which is what most people do, believe it or not, is doing nothing. Connecting with people and doing nothing. So there is a middle ground. So just to kind of practice what I'm preaching here, I just want to let you know, this time of year, you might be making a decision, your boss might be making a decision, a friend might be making a decision to, like, what you're going to do with your sales kickoff meeting in January. Now, if you happen to find yourself in a position where you're like, you know what, I really like Castain's style, man. I really like the fact that he's not there just trying to tell us what we like to hear. He's willing to talk about all that kind of, you know, those tough topics. I like his approach, like his style, like that whole New York thing he has going on. If you guys are looking for a speaker, I want you to reach out to me. I mean, seriously, I'm not going to beat around the bush here. I'm not going to just pump out good content and just like roll the dice and hope that you put two and two together and realize that, okay, this guy's doing this for exposure and he hopes that people actually flock to him. But I think sometimes you got to, like, remind people, hey, this is what I do. So if you guys are looking for a speaker, or if you are in a position to recommend me to someone you know, like your boss, maybe a coworker, maybe someone in your LinkedIn network, would you please pass along my information? And let me give you my email address. It's paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. Having said that, that is a long time for me to be beating around the bush. You know I don't like to do that. So let's get down to business. So today I want to talk about testimonials. And as I was saying, like in the whole like start of this whole thing, right? Like right before all the little music and theme songs and all that kind of thing. The thing that like I wanted to get out there is that there are things in sales that we just know intuitively that either you're supposed to do that or you're not supposed to do that. And I think every once in a while, you have to slow down. You have to jump off this crazy treadmill that we call sales. And you have to challenge your beliefs. And you have to ask yourself questions like, why? Why do I believe that? And why, like, something like asking for testimonials and testimonies in general, why is it so important? So that's part of what we're going to talk about today, very, very quickly, why it's important. And it's kind of important beyond what you're thinking. That's why I want to give you a different perspective. And then I want to talk about just some random thoughts about like some tactics when it comes to testimonials. I'm even going to share a major, major, major league mistake that I made when it came to testimonials a few years ago, and how I lost an opportunity to get a testimonial from a Fortune 500 company. So how's that for kind of letting the cat out of the bag? Now everybody's going to leave because they know where I'm going with it. But anyway, so the very first thing that I want to point out, right? I have like five or six things for you today. The very first thing I want to point out is that just like when someone gives you a referral, when someone is like knee deep, like right now they are giving you a testimonial, it reaffirms their decision to do business with you. Would you agree with that? In that moment when they're saying great things about you and how you provided an 11th hour miracle, or talking things about your work ethic or how easy it is to do business with you, you guys know the deal. Maybe you saved them a bunch of money or a bunch of hassle, made them look like a rock star. In that moment, they are reaffirming their decision to do business with you. But also, it goes a step further than that. It reinforces positive experiences with you. And the way that it does it is that when we're in the act of telling somebody something, especially about an experience, whether that experience was good or that experience was bad, we relive the experience in that moment when we're telling people about the experience. And we mostly see this with bad experiences. When somebody's telling a bad experience about, like, for example, I won't go into the whole story because then I'm going to get in a foul mood, but like many of yous guys, as we would say in New York, or many of y'all, right? You see how crazy that sounds for a New Yorker to say y'all, right? It just doesn't work, man. Just doesn't look right on Uncle Paul's table. But I do a lot of traveling like you guys do. And I mean, I could tell you lots of bad experience, but over the weekend, just a few days ago before the weekend, coming back from Kentucky, flight gets delayed. Then we work something out that I was going to go out the next morning. They just needed me to sit on the side. Well, sitting on the side became 45 minutes. Then like in the last minute, they're like, no, we need you to board the plane. And then they were trying to screw me out of my first class ticket. All these things, right? And by the way, I was supposed to get home at 5:30 p.m. I ended up by getting home at 1:30 p.m. And it was rather annoying. That night, I planned on hanging out with my kids. We were going to watch TV and stuff. It's not the end of the world, but it wasn't a good experience. But as I retell that experience right now, I find my mood changing, and it brings me back to that foul experience when I've told other people about it, right? I was hanging out with the family the other day. Hey, how was your flight? How was your trip? And you start telling them about it. I start, my emotions, like my whole state, my emotional state changes because I'm reliving something. So you have the negative side of that that you want to learn in sales how to leverage to get people to tell you about bad experiences. And that one of the ways we do that is through our questioning techniques. But the other thing too is that you also want your existing clients to relive positive experiences they've had with you. So in those moments when they are writing a testimonial, giving you a testimonial, it could even be a video testimonial, they are reliving the positive. And our job is to condition those positive experiences, right? And help them, you know, to go back and access those positive states that they have. So that's the first reason why you want to do this, right? And I think that's important. And I can go on and on and on about other reasons and everything else. But in fact, no, what the heck? I mean, no, let's get into the other reason. The other reason is that a testimonial provides evidence that will help you to combat and reduce and even eliminate things like skepticism, doubt, and objection. So let's say that again. That was a bit of a mouthful. Probably won't sound the same the second time that I'm saying it because I just make this shit up as I go. So the whole idea of a testimonial, it provides evidence to reduce and even eliminate things like skepticism, doubt, and objections. So it's a very important part of the sales professional's arsenal because it can combat that. And yeah, you might want to call me a tad superstitious, but hey, you know, this is who I am. But I really believe that the average person that we're going to be in contact with is on the fence. It could go either way. And it's very important for us to respect that and understand that and not underestimate the impact of somebody being on the fence. So we need things that are going to gently guide them to our side of the fence as opposed to either going to our competitor side of the fence or worse yet, remaining on the fence, like in this state of indecision. So when we use evidence, particularly something like a testimonial, it can help bring them to our side of the fence. So that's another reason why you want to do it. But now just some random thoughts about testimonials. I think it's really important when you provide testimonials that you have testimonials that have a few things. I like to have specific things in testimonials. I think that it adds to the legitimacy of it. So definitely specifics are a good thing, but I think it's really, really important. And please, if you're not driving, circle this one and put arrows that say over here, dude, or dudette, if you are of the dudette variety. You want to have testimonials that not only mention your company, but mention you. And I think that's a huge mistake a lot of us aspiring sales rock stars have made. We've had testimonials that talk about the company. But there's an old saying in sales, and it's one that I think we beat to death, so much so that we've forgotten what it really means. That we're just used to saying it, and we never really stop. So, well, what does that mean? And the saying is that people buy you before they buy the company. They buy you first before they buy the company. So if we all buy into that, why aren't we providing people with evidence to underscore the you part, right? Like, or to underscore the me part of it, the Paul part of it. So it's very important that when you ask for testimonials from people, that you ask them to please mention you specifically, because I think that will provide very specific evidence to them. And also, too, just like, again, just kind of under the same, this is item number three, just kind of under the same random ideas type of heading here. I think it's really important that when we talk about specifics in a testimonial, that we also get specific when it comes to the name of the person giving it. I just don't understand why people in sales and companies in general will have this beautiful testimonial and then totally F it up at the end by putting something like Tom J. from, you know, Cleveland, Ohio. Wow, that sounds real. Yeah, I mean, you know, heck. You know, I'm sure there's only, what, like 7 million Tom J's in Cleveland or whatever? I mean, you know, it's up there. I'm telling you, it's probably not one. So good luck trying to find that person, but I just think it's a hell of a lot more legitimate when it says an actual name, a title, and a company name, and where they're from. I mean, you don't have to put all that, but at the very least, get the full name in there. And there are people out there, when I train my coaching clients to do this, that, and it's a legitimate hesitation that they have. They say, you know what, Paul, I'm hesitant to do this because what if my competitors see the full name of this person? To me, if you have to worry about that, I think you have a bigger problem. Again, I'm not trying to be the all-knowing, like little know-it-all Castain here, trying to make you feel like an a-hole for believing what that other sales rep did. But I'm here to tell you, if you have to worry about a client jumping ship because they came across your name on somebody's website or it was used in some kind of fashion that got back to your competitors or whatever the heck it is, then I think you have a bigger problem. And I think that in being very open about it, it forces you to make sure that you create more competitor-resistant types of relationships. But I've been doing it for years, and I will tell you, if you're familiar with my website, yoursalesplaybook.com, all over the website, there are testimonials. I use them all the time. I use them in blog posts even. And I'm not afraid of it. And I can tell you right now, to my knowledge, I haven't lost any business. And if I did, then either shame on me for not providing the level of service that I should have, or shame on the person that jumped ship for not being loyal. But either way, I'm not going to lose sleep over it, and I'm not going to lose an opportunity to add legitimacy to something that people are skeptical over. I mean, I see other sales trainers, like people that are accomplished authors in the sales training space. And then, you know, they wuss out when it comes to their testimonial. And they'll put, like, some of them don't even put, like, Todd F. from Suffolk County, New York. Or they won't even do that. That's even too ballsy for them. And what they'll do is they'll write up this great testimonial, and then they'll put something like, sales rep in the pharmaceutical industry. It's like, wow, that was pretty ballless right there. So to me, I think that you should add legitimacy to it. In fact, there's even times when I would say that you go a step further and not only just have that legitimacy, but you wear that legitimacy on your sleeve. One of the things you could do when providing people with references is have a sheet of paper that has the references on it. But at the very top, use this heading, what real people are saying about, and then you put your name in the company. So it might be what real people are saying about Paul Castain and Castain Training Systems. See, it heads something off at the pass, because if you don't think that buyers, decision makers, C-level people are even like the tiniest bit skeptical and distrusting when it comes to sales reps, then you are sadly mistaken. You are underestimating that situation big time. So that's the third item that I wanted to tell you about. I have two to three more for you. You know, very, very interesting. Robert Cialdini has, you know, several incredible books that he's written. And in a book that he had written a few years ago, I want to guess it was 2008 or whatever it is, but you can get it on Amazon, and it's called Yes 50. What the hell is it called? This is bad when you can't read your own handwriting. And what's really even like more awesome than that is that I'm not going to edit it out. But anyway, so here's what it says. It's called Yes 50 Scientifically. That was the word I was struggling with. I could not read that effing word. But anyway, Yes 50 Scientifically Proven Ways to Be Persuasive. Right? I think that's like that's what I meant to say before. And in that book, he says that when it comes to testimonials and social proof and things like that, that it, and this might be a dumb moment for you guys, but I just need to put it out there, that many times people are more accepting of something from someone who is exactly like them, someone in a similar set of circumstances. So what does that mean to you as a sales rep? Is that it really means that you should have a whole library of testimonials that can be used for different situations. So there might be certain verticals that you sell into. So if you have testimonials from those verticals, that's someone who's just like them. Sometimes it's by title, and that could be very, very convincing. You have, like for me, I serve sales reps, sales leaders, business owners. So I try to have testimonials from all three groups, because there's going to be a business owner out there who's going to feel, and rightly so, that their needs are very different than someone like a VP of sales who, no matter what, gets a paycheck. And a VP of sales is going to feel that, well, my needs are more leadership and hiring sales rock stars and coaching setting up my sales meetings and all that kind of stuff. And the sales reps, well, you know, they got to go out there and kick ass. They got to go bring home the bacon. So it's very different needs. So providing from different groups can be good. I think also, if you ever have certain types of like scope of the work that you're doing for companies, that can be very, very important. Giving them a testimonial from someone who has a set of circumstances that are almost identical to what they have. That could be very, very convincing. And as crazy as this sounds, sometimes it's even just a geographical thing. I've had people that, because, you know, especially here in the U.S. and international business is done, you know, you have culture or cultural types of things that play into business, that, you know, like the way we do things here in New York and the Northeast is very, very different than the way they do things in the South. The way we do things here on the East Coast is very, very different than the way people do things on the West Coast. The topics that people are going to bring up in the course of normal discussion are very different in the Northeast as opposed to being in the South in the U.S. So those things might play into it, geographical types of testimonials. So I think that would be a good thing for you to consider, having that arsenal of testimonials. But the other thing that I think is really important, and this one is going to challenge you a little bit because it challenged me too, is that you don't always want a testimonial that is just a complete, like, stellar type of testimonial. Now, that might be sounding an awful like me saying that if you have somebody that really says that you suck or whatever, that you should put that out there. No, I'm not saying that at all. I just think that you want to turn some people away with your testimonials. And I have one in particular that I use that to me really captures who I am as a sales coach. Because the one thing I will tell you right up front, and this is not going to shock you, if you've been listening to my podcast for a while and you know my style, if you've been reading my blog posts over on yoursalesplaybook.com, or you've been interacting with me over on LinkedIn or wherever, this is not going to shock you. But you ready for this? I'm not for everybody. I'm not. I'm just not for everybody. And a president of a company wrote a testimonial for me that on the surface, when you hear it, you're going to say, oh my gosh, man, why would you put that up there? I mean, he wasn't putting me down at all, but he was being brutally honest about my style, and I think it was very important for me to get it out there. So let me read it to you. You ready for this? I mean, if there's any mystery, if this like might be not the like the testimonial to use, this first sentence is gonna just really gonna underscore this whole idea that like, man, maybe you shouldn't have done it. The very first sentence that he says in his testimonial is, Paul isn't for everyone. How's that for brutal honesty? Paul isn't for everyone. So now hold on before we go on with this. The reason, there are two reasons why I am using this testimonial. One is because, remember, I'm not for everyone, and I would rather somebody selects themselves out than wasting their time and wasting my time. So I would rather get to that like very quickly in this without this dragging on for a long time. So it's very, very important that we do that. But you know, the other reason why I want to have this testimonial up there is because I think people are skeptical of certain testimonials. Like, you're only going to put your good ones up there. Or, you know, they're used to seeing those things where it's just like the name and the initial, or, you know, what that wuss sales trainer did, and he puts, you know, sales rep in the pharmaceutical industry. So I want to put that at ease. So here's a testimonial. Paul isn't for everyone. Now, it's going to go from bad to worse, folks, but then it gets better. And he writes, if you are extremely sensitive, Paul isn't your guy. So, again, I just want, and I don't want you to answer this out loud, because if you're around coworkers and stuff and they don't know what you're doing, you're going to look weird, like talking to a computer screen or your phone or whatever. But if you followed me for a long time and you've listened to me on these podcasts, does that shock you at all about me that, number one, I'm not for everyone? I got news for you. You're not for everyone either. Again, I don't want to sit here getting a pissing contest with you, but none of us are for everyone. I mean, this is who we are. Also, the fact that he says, if you are extremely sensitive, Paul isn't your guy. Does that shock you about me? I mean, did you think I was warm and fuzzy and I was going to tell you it's going to be okay when the whole building is burning down? Did you guys think that? Because if you did, I am really in a bad position right now, and I got to do a lot of rebranding because I am screwing up royally then. But anyway, here's the whole thing, start to finish. Paul isn't for everyone. If you're extremely sensitive, Paul isn't your guy. But if you're willing to challenge old habits and really work to implement new action items, Paul will make you a better boss and a better salesperson. You see, I put that up there, the third reason, is because it's fair. Because it talks about what others might perceive as like kind of the ugly side of Castain, and still at the same time talking about what makes me an effective coach. So that's why I put that there. And if anybody ever wants to see that testimonial, if you go to yoursalesplaybook.com and you look in on the right side, they call it the right sidebar, you'll see a banner for my coaching services. If you click on that, it's going to take you to a landing page where we talk about the coaching services. And on there will be that testimonial, and it will have the actual person's name on there. And you know, a final thing, and you know, about this type of thing, using that type of testimonial and all, and it is a random thought I want to put out there. when you put these things up on your website and you put them in marketing pieces and we've put them in emails even and the auto signature, there's a lot of places you can put these. Put them in, obviously, your proposals and stuff. Sooner or later, somebody's going to pick up a phone to see if you're legit. And it is the greatest feeling in the world for me when people say, Paul, I mean, you're hired. And I want to tell you why. You are one, like, open book. You, the guy that we hear on that podcast, the guy that we, like, we love to read his blog posts and all that. When we go behind your back and we talk to people who've actually worked with you, they're saying the same thing and they are confirming the image we have of you. To me, that is what it's all about. The problem many times in sales is when we aren't congruent with an image that we're putting out there. That's where a problem can start. So we want to be congruent with that image, and this testimonial from Pete Primo is completely congruent with who I am, and it's, like I said, very, very fair. So next, and we'll file this under last but not least, how to ask for a testimonial. And there's a lot of ways that you could ask for a testimonial, but I just want to give you the one that I think is most neglected. And you would think that it wouldn't be, but it is. And I want to, like, kind of open this section up with a little bit of a story of a major mistake that I made. And I wish I could tell you that this was at the beginning of my career. It wasn't. It was 5 years ago. I wish I could tell you, well, at least I made this mistake on a small company. No, it was a Fortune 500. It was actually my very first Fortune 500 that I landed at Castain Training Systems. And when we talk about the quality of your testimonials, would you guys agree that having one from a Fortune 500 company would add a lot of credibility to my words and my work, right? I mean, it's pretty important. So I did this keynote address at a kickoff event out a few years ago, and I was out on the West Coast, and it went really, really well, if I do say so myself. But it wasn't just me who was saying that it went well. I mean, the whole time you had the audience just on an emotional roller coaster, and got them all fired up. We had lots of actionable items that we discussed, a lot of great discussion, because my keynote addresses, I don't really believe in lectures. I like it to be interactive. And I don't mean interactive by having everybody do like a ridiculously hokey exercise or role play or something like that. I mean where we take topics and we have discussions and we hear from the groups and I add my two cents, and it's give and take rather than somebody talking at you. At the end of this whole thing, the lady who hired me, big shot in this Fortune 500 company, comes over and she goes, you know what, Castain, I know you're not a hugger, but screw it. She gives me this big old hug. Give her a hug back, right? Because, you know, and by the way, I'm sorry, but this is what I do. Somebody once told me that if you hug somebody and they just, like, are not having that hug, they're going to be kind of tapping out on your back. They give you the tap on the back. The tap on the back is kind of their way of saying, all right, it got weird enough. So, but hey, I just thought I'd tell you that because somebody's got to teach you this shit. So anyway, she gives me a big old hug. I hug her back, right? Didn't give her any like tap on the back. She didn't give me a tap on the back. We hugged for the appropriate amount of time because sometimes you hug too long and you probably should get a room. Right? Appropriate amount of time was observed. Everything was cool. Full hugging etiquette was observed. And she went on to just tell me how I just kicked ass and rocked the house. And with that, there are all these people lining up to come over and tell me what a great job I did. And you know what? All ego aside and everything, man, it is just great when you know that what you do for a living impacts so many other people. But I screwed up, and I didn't jump on the damn getting a testimonial thing from her because it just felt weird asking her for it, and then I got sidetracked and everything else. But it gets worse. What happens is that next thing you know, I have kind of like an informal note to self to get the damn testimonial from her that I didn't do on the spot when she was all pumped up and loving me and hugging me and shit. And a few weeks later, I go to reach out to her. And she's gone. I'm not kidding you. It's like you want to talk about like bad luck. I mean, like disappeared from this company. I don't know what happened. Obviously, it was something people didn't want to talk about. I don't know, man. Maybe she was fired for like inappropriate hugging. I don't know. We still don't know. It was 5 years ago, and she disappeared. And I couldn't even get a hold of her on LinkedIn and all this other stuff. And moral of the story, there is never a better time to ask somebody for a testimonial than in that moment when they're telling you how awesome you are, or that you saved the day, or that you performed an 11th hour miracle, or that you made them look great, or that you saved them time and money, or that they're getting great feedback from their team. Think about that. I mean, that's what you and I live for in sales, getting that kind of feedback. It just kind of validates that we are doing the right thing by these clients. But in that moment when somebody says something to you, or even thanking you for saving their ass, or thanking you for getting this there 2 days ahead of schedule, at that moment, I think we have to go back to what I said at the very beginning of the podcast and having the balls to just say, hey, listen, and going into the whole referral thing. So let me testimonial. And by the way, I really think that referrals and testimonials are joined at the hip. I mean, seriously, I mean, they're very, very similar, even though they're different, but I ask for them in pretty much the same way and all. But here's what I do. If I'm talking with you, and let's just say, well, actually, let's just get specific here. Let's just say I'm hanging out with John, and I'm visiting him after I just did some training, and John says, hey, Paul, listen, I just want to let you know, again, you did such a great job at that sales kickoff meeting. We're getting lots of great feedback. A few people have even told me they've emailed you directly. We loved it. There was like a lot of actionable advice. You're not like one of these motivational speakers that comes in with all this rah-rah piss and vinegar, and there's nothing after that. You came in with actual actionable items for them. You kicked their ass, blah, 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 right? This is what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do in that moment, I'm going to say, listen, please, right now, grab your phone. Seriously, I get dramatic, and I say, yeah, you got to grab your phone. You have to like do this as if like our lives depended on it. Please grab your phone right now. They grab the phone. And then I say, right now, go into your email, and just like those two sentences or three sentences or one sentence, whatever it like turns out to be, email me those two sentences that you just spoke to me. Because if you do and you give me permission to use that as a testimonial, here's what's going to happen. I get to work with more cool clients like you, and it would mean the world to me. And right while I'm in front of them, I'll even say, okay, I'll wait while you do this. And I don't really give a shit if I'm being hokey or I'm being dramatic or if any of you even think that somehow that was pushy. I'm here to tell you that the opposite way that I did it doesn't work either. To this day, I hang my head thinking, man, what an idiot I am for not getting that testimonial. It was all but written for me in that moment. I didn't ask for the damn thing. I mean, I got a hug, for God's sakes, from the woman. So anyway, I'm making a big deal about the hug. But the thing is that when you wait after that moment, when they have just, you know, they were singing your praises, it just, you know, the mood kind of goes. It just diminishes rapidly. I would say within a few hours, it's all but gone. So you really need to do it right away. So that's, again, file that one under duh, but I don't think I'm the only one who hesitates with things like that. And again, I don't want you to hesitate on these things. And when I say these things, it's not just asking for testimonials and referrals and asking for the business like I did at the beginning of this podcast and talking about that kind of stuff. It's just that I just think that our priorities and our perceptions are a bit off at times as sales professionals. We have the balls to cold call a business, cold call a high-level decision maker, cold email a high-level decision maker, send an invitation on LinkedIn to a high-level decision maker, walk into a building, knock on a door, and ask for that high-level decision maker. But suddenly, God forbid, you ask for a testimonial from somebody who's already basically said that they love you and giving you a freaking hug, too. I mean, so I just think that maybe we need to revisit priorities and perceptions, because it might not be serving us too well. I know it wasn't serving me, and that's why I always talk about these little moments where you have to ask your ego to leave the room and have an honest conversation with yourself. If I wasn't having those little honest conversations without the ego, I'm telling you, I mean, I would be out of business. I would be back working for someone right now. And that's not what I wanted to be doing. So there you have it, folks. I mean, you have several ideas, just random thoughts about testimonials, ranging from why you should be asking for them. We talked about really two reasons why you should be asking for them, because they reaffirm their decision to do business with you. And, of course, reliving the positive interactions and experiences they've had with you, but also providing evidence, which we know helps to combat and even eliminate and reduce skepticism, doubt, and objections. We also talked about how important it is when you get a testimonial to make sure that it mentions you and the company, and be specific and put their full name in there. And even when they can really point to exactly what it is about you that makes you a rock star and why others should consider you. Also, we talked about how important it is to have an arsenal of testimonials and kind of pick and choose as you go along, because there are some people, they're really going to want to see people in similar circumstances. And even if they don't tell you they want that, it's just that when you provide a testimonial from their world and someone who's very similar to them, whether it be geographically, same vertical, it could be, you know, that kind of stuff, even same challenges, scope of work or whatever, it just packs more punch. I even mentioned, which I had screwed up because I couldn't read my own freaking handwriting, really cool book by Robert Cialdini called Yes, 50 Scientifically Proven Ways to Be Persuasive. We talked about how a good testimonial is also going to turn some people away. In fact, the thing I didn't mention before is I had met this advertising guy years ago, and the guy was a complete nut job. But a lot, I hate to say this, but and some have accused me of being the same, by the way. But there, a lot of like really heavy duty creative types are nut jobs. And you know, being a musician, I can tell you lots of brilliant musicians that are also nut jobs. But this guy was like certifiably like, I mean, like take him away and just like put him in a padded room type of nut job of that variety. But he did say some things that made sense to me. And he was talking about good copy when it comes to copywriting, writing these ads that are in like the New York Times and all. And he said good copy gently guides the right person by the hand to you. But at the same time, it kind of discourages the wrong people from following you into wherever it is you're taking them. To your offer, to your company, to a conversation, to a, you know, call us now type of call to action, whatever. And I thought that was interesting. And that's really where I was going with the idea that sometimes, you know, a brutally honest testimonial will help you score a lot of points, because people are naturally skeptical of testimonials. And I think we want to discourage the wrong people from following you. And then we talked a little bit about how to ask and really, really when to ask for the testimonial. And I shared a very real mistake that to this day, I mean, it really bothers me talking about it, because it was just so stupid to do that. So now I don't hesitate. And by the way, this whole thing today that I was talking about, having the balls to ask people for things, a lot of times, sales trainers and thought leaders will give you this advice, and then they selectively hold back on the ugly side of it. I'm here to tell you, when you do ask people for things and when you do try certain things, you are going to piss some people off. You are going to get some feedback that you don't want to hear. But what I always do, and I use as like kind of my measurement, if I'm hearing like a lot of really bad feedback, then you know what? I got to lose the ego and I got to make a change. But I also know that I'm not going to please everyone. And when it comes to like asking people for things, The story I always talk about is when I launched Castain Training Systems, and when I sent out the word on LinkedIn to everybody that I was connected with, you know, it's very interesting because I started the business in 2011. For a minimum of 2 years before that, I had no idea that I was going to be starting my own business. I thought it was going to be till death do us part with the billion-dollar a year printing company that I worked for. I was a vice president, making good money, nice bonus checks. Life was good for Uncle Paul. And so I was sending along these no strings attached resources to people, playing matchmaker. In those days, if you needed something, I was very giving of my time. I would say, you know what, you want to jump on a free coaching call, you know, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour. I would give this stuff to people. So I was giving, because that's what people told me to do. And first of all, the world did not beat a path to my door. I'm dead serious. And this was me giving, because they didn't think to beat a path to my door. They didn't think of me in the light of we could hire a Paul to do this. And I knew that. So, you know, there was no problem there. But when I went to launch my business in 2011, somebody responded back. And it was such a snotgram that they sent me. They were like, how dare you? Because after like 2 years of like giving, I even prefaced the email I sent to everybody. Hey, this is going to be a different email from me. I usually send along these resources. I try to help. I believe in giving up front without a scorecard. Today, I'm going to be selfish. I started a business. Here's how I could help you or a friend. If you know of any way, could you please? It would mean the world to me if you passed it along. Nothing bad about that message. Seriously, that was, you know, pretty to the point. And somebody wrote me back and they were like, how dare you? And I make a joke of it, but I'm really not joking, man. The guy acted like he walked in and caught Uncle Paul, like, sleeping with his wife. I mean, seriously, it's like, yeah, there we are under the covers. Oh, yeah, you're home? I mean, it was like that. It was like, it got weird and stuff. And back then, it really bothered me to the point that I shut down my efforts in asking people for things. And then I realized that no matter what, even when you're giving things to people, I would have people say to me, hey, listen, you know, take me off your list. And I'm like, well, what list? We're connected on LinkedIn. I'm giving you shit. But okay, no problem. But so, you know, being in sales, our job is not to be everybody's best friend. And when people make that statement, I usually get the feeling that they're advocating going the opposite way and being a total jerk and a total jackass to people. I'm not saying that at all. Again, once again, I'm saying that we have the extreme of being a jerk and being salesy and spammy. And then we have the other extreme, which is keeping your mouth shut and thinking somehow the world is going to do right by you and is going to come and like build this path. You're a, you know, you have done well. You have done all these things for people. Here's everybody giving you your payback. It just doesn't happen that way. And you're going to starve, and you better have a spouse that's making a lot of money to be able to support you, because it's just, it's not going to come from just being a nice guy. So I think every once in a while, you have every right to ask. And even when you get a real shitty response to people or whatever it is, make a note to give a shit what they think about you. Seriously, you're not doing something awful. You know, like I told you, the guy's acting like I was having an affair with his wife. Well, I wasn't. You know, God forbid a salesperson actually asks you for a sale or to recommend like him after giving you stuff. So I just don't let it bother me. And again, my measurement is if I'm hearing a lot of that type of feedback, I have to assume that I'm doing something wrong. It could be the approach, could be the timing of it. I might be doing something inappropriate. So I have to allow my ego to leave the room and have that honest conversation with myself. But to get like, that was like, I got that one from that guy that time. And I've probably since 2011 have gotten a grand total of about 4 or 5 people get indignant with me for trying to sell them on LinkedIn. And I just remove them. Not because I'm childish or I want to show them. It's just because, again, I'm not here trying to be your buddy. I'm not here to be friend zoned by you. And I'm not saying this to them. I'm saying it to you guys. I mean, I'm not here for group hugs and like warm and fuzzy shit. I'm here to sell stuff to support my family. And I'd really like to believe that what I do for a living serves you. And if we're going to have that kind of disconnect, there's no point in us continuing in that courtship. Plus, now I am going to be a little dickish. I really don't want to court an asshole. I just don't. And if you're showing me your true colors prior to an engagement, I just don't see the reason for the engagement, let alone the marriage. So you've kind of given me a gift. But anyway, before you go, I am going to ask you for another thing, because it feels good asking people for shit. I got to be honest with you. And it seems to be working out pretty good. But we're going to be talking a lot about psychology in sales, right? How cool is that? Psychology in sales, without getting like technical and philosophical. Like, I'm talking about actionable things, like do these three things in order to achieve this type of result or whatever. But this Thursday, October 19th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, I'm going to be hosting a webinar by the name of 20 Psychological Tactics That Drive Sales. Now, I have this 90-minute webinar divided up into two sections. One, we're going to be talking about your psychology and like things that limit your results. We're going to be talking about nervousness and call reluctance. And, you know, even on a more positive side, if you're not experiencing those things, how do we get you to access peak performance states? So let me just give you a quick example of that. Have you ever had some days where you felt totally on fire, like almost like, and you know that this isn't true, but you almost feel like you could probably walk out in the traffic and come out like unscathed, man? You are Superman or Supergirl. You are just like not of mortal men and women in that moment. You are just like, seriously, man, you are on fire. And then other days it's like you're struggling and you don't know why. You're like, I remember hearing the number two sales rep in the company that I worked for using the phrase, I feel so out of sync. Right? I mean, we have those days where we're out of sync and we have other days that we're on fire. So how do we spend more days in that I'm on fire zone? How do we trigger that type of emotional state so that we can get better results? So we're going to talk about things like that. We're going to talk about things like procrastination and all. But we're also going to now, in the second part of it, talk about your prospects' psychology. And we're going to talk about things like two psychological tactics that I use in a cold email that work like a charm. Now, I just want to like have a quick time out. When I talk about psychological tactics, I don't want you ever to think for one moment that I'm advocating sleazy things, like that we're like tricking people. No, not at all. I'm talking about using things like intrigue and scarcity and peer pressure and things like that to kind of, you know, get people off that fence of or even like clinging to the status quo. We're going to also talk about six psychological triggers that expedite your deals. We're going to talk about seven ways that we're judged and more. And I've talked about that, by the way, before, even a lot of the free stuff that I offer. But we're going to take a deeper dive into how you can leverage the fact that you're going to be judged in seven ways. Now, what do you do about it? How do you work with that type of landscape that everybody has, by the way? We're going to also talk about seven better ways to build rapport. I mean, everybody always talks about building rapport. If there were a group of people right now and I said, okay, as far as building rapport, how do you do it? You get a lot of people say, well, I look around the office for things that we have in common, and, you know, we'll kind of use those as icebreakers and talk about that stuff. Or, you know, in an inside sales model, in my pre-call planning research, what I'll do is find things again that we have in common and ask questions about this and show a genuine interest. And that's all good. But it's also very cliched. And I just want to tell you, if you think for one minute that that is like truly building rapport, you're mistaken. There are better ways to build rapport with people, and we're going to get into them. And there are some that you never would have thought of in a million years as being something that would actually build rapport with people. So we're going to do that. We're going to talk about 12 ways to put a skeptic at ease. And the good news is I've already given you one of those for free. When I got into this whole testimonial thing today, that is a form of this whole, like, it's one of the 12 things I'm going to be sharing. But we're going to talk about how to put a skeptic at ease. We're going to talk about not only the psychological impact of asking kick-ass questions, but a style of questioning that is honestly, I mean seriously, just one of the most brutal forms of questions, like deadly, lethal types of questions to ask that achieves the result without being sleazy or manipulative, but it just really works like a charm. And again, we're going to be talking about things like intrigue and scarcity and peer pressure and how to sprinkle that throughout your entire sales process. So what I'd really like for you to do, again, if you found value in this today, number one, keep me in mind, obviously, for any kind of sales kickoff that you might be having. You can shoot me an email, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com, or if you'd like to come and join us for this webinar this week, would you please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/tactics. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is at Castain Training Systems Production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.